Good evening, everyone, and thank you ever so much for coming. I'm really grateful to you all for coming, and I'm also grateful to you for supporting Victoria Hall. And thanks to these two public meetings, we'll have paid to fix their lifts, so it's good to be able to give something back at the same time as holding our meeting. So as I said in the lead-up to this, my goal is to try and explain, as much as I can understand it, what the government's thinking is, where we are, what our options are, the stakeholders, and then most importantly, for me to hear your views. So last time it took me about half an hour to go through everything. I'm really sorry, but it is complex and it is changing by the day. But hopefully you'll leave here and go, right, I think I get what's going on now. And then you can make decisions for yourselves. But I will continue to listen and we'll see where we're going. So in terms of what I'm going to try and cover this evening, so what is the government proposing? Quite evident there. Why and timeline, benefits, concerns, decision makers, future of Rutland, do we have a choice? What next and your thoughts? So turning straight to the what is the government proposing. So these are the biggest reforms in 50 years that has been done by government to local councils. And it matters because, as all of you know, although I'd like to pretend that when you vote for me it's the most important vote that you do, actually local councils are the thing that you have the most contact with on a day-to-day basis as members of our community. So as you probably suspect by now, government wants to move away from two-tier governance, and so they want to scrap all district councils, so Harborough District Council, Melton Borough Council, South Stephen District Council, but they've also said we're going to scrap small unit trees like Rutland. In their place, they want to create these enormous unit tree councils which serve a minimum of 500,000 people. So if you compare that to Rutland, we're currently serving 41,000 people with our county council. South Stephen has 145,000 residents, and Melton has 52,000 residents. So we are looking at substantial changes. Now, originally, their quote as to why they were doing this was that they wanted to facilitate a move away from two-tier, because that's their policy, they think it's better. But also, they were going to where unitary councils, where there is evidence of failure, or where their size or boundaries hinder their ability to serve the services for their residents. So we don't come into the failure in terms of evidence of failure because we're financially sound, and actually, as you may have seen in the Sunday Telegraph, we're the number one rated council in the entire country for social care, which is actually one of the reasons given for doing this review, is that social care is so hard to do, they claim, for small councils. However, once the new large unitaries are in place, that's not the end of the reorganisation. They want then to move to what they call mayoralties in strategic authorities. So that's what we've seen in Teesside, in West Midlands, Manchester. Those, I'd say, are the successful models that we've seen. But it's also taken place in Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, in Yorkshire, in west of England and other places. And these combined authorities have enormous amounts of power, especially over planning. So essentially, you scrap the districts, you scrap small unitaries, but you create a new level of governance above it, which the mayoralties with strategic authorities. So, what does the government say are the benefits of this? So, as I touched on, the government's ultimate goal is not the local government reorganisation, it's the mayoralties. They want to deal with 10 big mayoralties across the entire country, rather than lots of county councils. And local government reorganisation, of course, is a stepping stone to get them where they want to. So they've set out the benefits of devolution as everything from the transfer of powers and funding from national to local government. They say decisions will be made closer to home, but that depends on your perspective. Yes, Whitehall, Parliament will have fewer decisions to make, so it will move to our local region, but it's a regional decision, not a Rutland decision. So, for example, Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland could come together into a new strategic authority, or you could see an East Midlands authority. We just don't know where it might end up. It is true, by and large, that councils of all size and political affiliations want to see devolution. Obviously, the Conservative government wants to see devolution as well, hence why we now have the West Midlands mayoralty, the Manchester mayoralty. But we said you didn't have to do local government reorganisation in order to have a mayoralty. We just created it as an additional tier. So areas who want devolution have to put forward proposals, but there is quite a lot of disagreement about what that looks like. But strategic authorities themselves look after transport and local infrastructure, skills and employment, housing and strategic planning, economic development and regeneration, environment and climate change, health, wellbeing and all public service reform. So all of those will move from what would currently be either Rutland County Council or under a new model, a Leicestershire potential model that we were in, to the mayoralty. So you're looking at a big shift in terms of how close those are to you. But it will be much easier for government to allocate money, and they'll be able to allocate it at a big regional level. Decision-making will move away from government, and it makes it simpler, as I said, for government. So in the long term, at first, lots of competences that currently sit with Rutland would move to Leicestershire probably, but then they would move to that kind of metro mayor, whereas again, we've had real successes, Andy Burnham, Andy Street, but we've also seen some that haven't really. So as I say, devolution is the priority. They also say that as well as decision making, the process would be really beneficial because it creates simpler structures, speaks for itself, everything runs through a mayoralty. It will massively enable housing on a vast scale. So the minister said only a few weeks ago, this agenda is about tackling exactly that, that being housing, because obviously they've got a plan to build 1.5 million houses. And this is why areas like Harbour that I represent are so worried that they might be absorbed into the city and essentially be forced to build all of the city's housing, which we've already seen. They also argue there'll be significant cost savings. So on the face of it, yes, fewer CEOs, fewer senior management teams, less duplication. But of course, we're actually then creating a mayoralty level, which will have to have these exact same things. So when asked, ministers always quote this 2020 PwC report that says that if you move to 25 two-tier areas to a single unitary, you will have a one-off saving of £400 million. But when I asked the Library and Parliament for the evidence that it saves money, they said there is no evidence at the moment that it will save money. And again, we'll have the new mayoralty level, so we don't have the cost of what it would be to bring in those. So where are we currently at the timeline? So it's all moving incredibly quickly. So before Christmas, all the councils were written to that were big, so Leicestershire, Rutland got written to because we're next to a big unitary, and essentially they don't want orphan unitaries, that's what they call us at the moment, we're orphans because we're small and on our own. Some people like being orphans, but anyway. And essentially, you got told before Christmas that you had to write by the 10th of January with whether or not you want to postpone elections in your area, not really relevant to Rutland, but it is in Lincolnshire and it is in Leicestershire, and which pathway you wanted. So how quickly do you want to move down this model? Last Thursday, we were meant to receive the news about whether they were going to postpone the elections in those areas, which essentially tells us which areas they're going to prioritise. That didn't happen. I was told this morning by the Labour Whip's office, because I actually have quite a good relationship with them, that we will find out on Thursday at the latest now. But so essentially any day this week, we will find out who's had their elections cancelled. So the government wants interim plans by March 2025. So we're not looking at very far away. So by March, there need to be interim proposals put in place. Then by May, if you're on a quicker, fast stream, you need to put in full proposals. And if you're on a slightly slower one, you're allowed to put them in by autumn. And essentially, that is the pathway one or pathway two. They want all of this done with 185 councils into new unitary structures by April 2028. So we're looking at incredibly fast moves. In terms of who are the decision makers, so the final decision on any restructure sits with Angela Rayner as Secretary of State. The restructure does not require the affected councils to give consent. They've said they will put in place legislation that if there are councils who hold up, delay or prevent reorganisation, they will be able to override the views of that council. As you saw from the timeline, there are no plans for consultation with the public so far, let alone referendums, which we've seen in the past. There is no mechanism for you as an average person or for me as an MP to oppose or to disagree. I wrote a written question to the minister 2 weeks ago, and I got a response over the weekend, where I said, will you provide funding so that councils can hold referendums? Or will you provide funding so they can hold public consultations? And their answer was, it is for councils to decide how to best to engage locally, including with residents, in a meaningful and constructive way when developing their proposals. So they're not going to provide any funding, and they're not going to hold any consultations. We were told a few weeks ago that there would be a consultation at the very end of the process on whether we want to join a mayoralty or not, but there won't be anything on local government reorganisation at all. So it's not us making the decisions, but Rutland County Council does have a voice and a say. So what does it mean for Rutland? We know the government wants to scrap small unitaries. We know that they're expecting it to be 500,000 people per unitary. However, they've done a deal with the Treasury where now a unitary can be only 380,000 if you can reach local agreement. And then above it, it's likely we'll get this unitary and combined mayoralty authority. So what has our council said so far? I only got access to this letter today, so I've just been going through it this afternoon. But essentially, Leicestershire County Council and Rutland County Council wrote jointly with the Mayor of Leicester, Peter Salisbury, on the 10th of January. And I have some fundamental issues with the letter. But essentially, the letter says that it is recognised by all stakeholders that this is an opportunity for us. I would question who those stakeholders are. It says there has been initial consideration and engagement, I would ask with whom that engagement has taken place. It says there is unanimous agreement that we need a mayor. I, for one, do not consent unanimously to that. It says that we recognise that local government reform is needed. I don't know why we're saying we absolutely recognise it's needed, because we haven't had that discussion with our communities, and it wasn't needed under Conservative government, so why are we saying it is now? It then says we are in an area in need of reorganisation, but again, there isn't consensus. And it also says we are in agreement that the city boundaries have to change, that Leicester can expand into Leicestershire. Again, there is significant upset, not least amongst MPs, but amongst all district councils who, a few days after this letter, although they hadn't seen it, were told what was in it, and they all wrote united with Rutland County Council, slightly strangely, to say they were not in agreement with the boundaries of Leicester expanding. What the letter did was it requested for elections to be suspended in Leicestershire to allow us to be on pathway two, which is one of the fastest models towards moving towards this model. It moves us towards a mayoralty, it moves us towards reorganisation, and I say it puts us on the quicker model where we have to have proposals in by May rather than, for example, having autumn or later. So in terms of what the options are for us, we have lots of neighbours, but we actually have very few choices because of the way the government has structured this. So obviously we have Lincolnshire next door. They've already got a devolution deal. The election for their mayor is taking place in May. However, I've already had a letter from the government saying we're going to give the mayor 18 months, because obviously I represent Lincolnshire as well, and in 18 months we may change the Lincolnshire mayor to being the Greater Humber mayor. The reason for that shows you the general direction of travel. They're not interested in Lincolnshire. They're definitely not interested in the south of Lincolnshire that I represent. They're interested in the Scunthorpes and the Grimsbys and that kind of industrial heartland. And this is one of my main worries I'll get to later, is that a lot of this is very city-centric driven or industrial driven. We all know we're not industrial in the kind of typical way that many people think of. We have our own forms of industry. So Lincolnshire is out technically as a partner for us. Cambridgeshire and Peterborough are pursuing their own plans. Northamptonshire isn't even up for discussion because they're looking at all sorts of complicated splits and proposals. And then that leaves us with Leicestershire. Now, obviously, we're previously subsumed into Leicestershire. The government added an additional requirement in the documents that came out in December that we weren't expecting, which was that you have to co-locate, or they expect you to co-locate, with where you already share services, for example, police and fire. And obviously, we are part of the Leicestershire and Rutland Police and Leicestershire and Rutland Fire. So that suggests that we would do, that we automatically move with Leicestershire, and essentially they've limited our options. What I would say, and there's been some real disinformation about this out in the community, currently there is no model where we are subsumed by Leicester directly. That is not currently on the table. Of course, within a mayoralty, that could happen, but in terms of our direct unitary authority, that is not currently on the table. Yes, a strategic authority possibly, but not yet. So let's look at Leicestershire and Leicester. So the model that Leicestershire County Council wants is one unitary for the whole of Leicestershire and Rutland. So Leicester City would have its own unitary authority, and then the county plus Rutland would come together as a second. Now, the population for Leicestershire County Council is 712,000, and there are 53 wards and councils for Leicestershire County Council. That works out as 13,500 people per ward. So on this basis, if we went into what I'm calling the donut, someone suggests I call it the polo, but I think it's a bit of a dud idea, so I'm going to stick with donut. Essentially, we would have three councillors representing Rutland at the new unitary authority. So from 27 down to three, against obviously all the others who would also have their own voice. Within that, the borders of Leicester would change, but they would not expand as far as Rutland. That is not on the table and it is not up for discussion. Not just because I don't want it to be, but it genuinely isn't. Although Leicestershire County Council wants this model, the districts have obviously opposed it and said they do not support and do not think it's right. The second model is moving to three unitaries. So there's division here about whether we should go into north, south or east, west. So if I look at east, west first, the district councils have put a load of money to one side to try and work out what would be best for them, because the government hasn't given them any money, but they've taken on a load of consultants. East, west works. If you work on that new 380,000 minimum, we can have two unitaries within the Shire with Rutland as well. If we look at north-south, it is likely we would end up in the north. The reason being that Melton Borough Council has said they will not agree to not being with us. Their view is that Melton and Rutland are the most kind of agreed in terms of way of life, you know, functioning, where we look at each other, where we live our lives, orality. So although I've put Rutland in red there, because technically we could move either south or north in terms of populations, I think, Melton has been very clear that they want us. And also I have been told that there's various other benefits that there are for us, but I'm waiting for the data. So in this model, we would get 6 councillors in our unitary authority, which is obviously double what we would get otherwise. The next one is obviously the status quo. We could refuse. We could challenge, we could fight, we could hold a local referendum, and we could say, no, we want the status quo, we want our county council. And then the final is that we could put forward an alternative proposal. Now, as I said, in Lincolnshire, they've agreed a mayoralty is coming, the elections are in May. However, Lincolnshire County Council has asked also to be part of the reorganisation, so they're likely to move into 2 unitaries as well within Lincolnshire, which would be the first time that they've been split up. So one from the city of Lincoln all the way south, and then the other one would be to the north. Now, could we do our own proposal? I've been trying to do the maths. There was a lot, when I knocked on the doors during the election, and I've never raised it proactively or publicly, because it's not for me to do, it's for the community to drive and then for me to support. I was shocked at how many doors in Stamford and the Stamford villages, not the very top of my constituency, which is right near Grantham, but the very south, they were saying, we want to join Rutland. We don't want your council tax, but we want to be part of Rutland. And obviously my answer to the door was, well, the more of you that join Rutland, the lower our council tax can be. And essentially, I was really surprised at the appetite and how high it is. And the leader of Southcote, Stephen, who's an independent, he has said that he's very, very interested in essentially a rural authority. I have no idea what we would call it. I can't go down that route. It's too complicated at the moment. That would potentially bring together Southcote, Stephen, Rutland and Melton and the Vale and us forming our own rural unitary. That would expand all the way into Grantham, however, all of Bourne, all of Market Deeping and all of Stamford and all the areas that I represent. The challenge here is that when I've done the maths, we are still 100,000 people short. Now, of course, it doesn't take into account the fact that Melton's about to massively grow in size. I delivered the bypass, that brought in thousands of homes. However, we would still be short. However, it doesn't mean you shouldn't put forward what you actually think is best for your communities, and it doesn't mean we couldn't potentially argue back against the arguments for 380,000. As I say, we would still be expanding. It's about similar way of life, rural way of life and our outlook. So if the plans go ahead where we would be absorbed into Leicestershire, could we still call ourselves Rutland? So this is a very different conversation to whether or not we want to keep our unitary authority. It's about what we call ourselves and who we are. According to the government, ceremonial counties technically exist as counties solely for the purposes of having a Lord Lieutenant. Who knew? And we are joined by her this evening. Ceremonial counties have Lord Lieutenants and High Sheriffs, who is also here with us, I saw you earlier, representing our area. Now, we have records going all the way back to 1559 of us having Lord Lieutenants, of course, apart from the short bit where we lost our freedom last time. From a government perspective, ceremonial counties are defined in what's called the Lieutenancies Act of 1997. Now, we know we lost our lieutenant last time, and that's when we lost our independence, but the position was obviously recreated in 1997. There are currently no examples in the whole country of multiple ceremonial counties existing under one local government. So that would reflect the fact that ceremonial counties tend to be bigger than their local government areas. So I wrote to government and I said, what are you doing? And we have something called a written question. So I can submit a question onto this platform, and when the government responds in writing, it's actually laid formally in Parliament. So it's as if the minister spoke from a dispatch box. They have to be completely legally accurate about what they say. And I essentially said, what consideration have you given to protecting ceremonial status to make sure that people don't lose it if you're going to force this review? They couldn't give me a clear answer. So my conclusion is either they haven't thought about it or they won't promise to protect it. I don't know which one it is. So obviously, if they're saying there's no direct impact, but we will work with you if there is, I thought I'd better look at the legalities of it all. So I looked at the basis in legislation for our ceremonial status, which has been really quite painful. But essentially, the division of England into ceremonial counties took place in the Tenancies Act of 1997. This was passed before we returned to being a unitary authority. So we are not listed on the face of the bill, as we parliamentarians would say. So essentially, Rutland is not listed in the document that says, here's a list of all the ceremonial counties in England, which obviously means we have a lot less protection than all the others who are listed. And the reason that we have less protection is that governments hate reopening old pieces of legislation, because if you open something, anyone can amend it to say anything they want, people like me, who would be trying to amend it to say that Rutland should be protected. However, some experts I've spoken to said to me that Section 3B, bear with me, states that a Lord Lieutenant Act extends to any other area in England which are counties for the purposes of the Local Government Act 1972. So the counties, the purposes of the Local Government Act 1972 were covered, but that is the act that turned us into a district of Leicestershire. So we can't even rely on the 1972 Act because it's the one that actually scrapped us. So that assessment leaves us with the fact that we cannot exist as a county. So then I went to what happened last time this was discussed in Parliament, because obviously Rutland last time round, newspapers around the world were talking about Rutland losing its independence last time. I've seen coverage from Zimbabwe, from Kenya, from places in Asia, China, you name it, talking about this small county that was fighting for its independence. So last time they discussed this in Parliament, the Labour minister, it was Labour then as well, said that in their opinion there was no legal basis for a historic or ceremonial county unless it is concurrent with a local authority existing parallel to it. Therefore, if Rutland County Council is abolished as a local government area, our Lord Lieutenancy is abolished, and therefore we are no longer a ceremonial county. And this is probably why the government couldn't give me assurances, because it's not that straightforward. So how do we protect our ceremonial status as for Rutland? For me, this is a bit of a red line. I don't think we should be stripped of our identity, but I am open to having that discussion, which is why we're here. So I tried to look through how could I save our ceremonial status. The first is obviously existing legislation. As I mentioned, government hate opening it, but that doesn't mean we couldn't do it. Ultimately, this is all in the hands of government, and if they want to help us by reopening old legislation, they could choose to do so, particularly with their majority, because if they decided they wanted to back it, they could just say to their MPs, you are voting for this, and we'd be through. Option two, if the government passes legislation to force us to merge, because we refuse to join Leicestershire, I could lay an amendment to that legislation that says, you must, however, protect our ceremonial status. Now, hopefully, government would agree to that, but if they don't, then essentially I would need to go around Parliament and beg, borrow and steal votes from every single other party and beg people to vote with me and support me on it. And I would do my best to get that across the line. The third option is going back to the Lord Lieutenancy Act. There is a sentence in the 1997 Act that says, Her Majesty may appoint lieutenants, or in addition to Lord Lieutenants, for any county or area. Area being obviously the bit I'm interested in. So could we ask the King to appoint lieutenant for Rutland? There's a few problems with that. One, what is a lieutenant versus a Lord Lieutenant? They are clearly fundamentally different. I haven't found a legal expert yet that can explain the difference, but legislation is done carefully for a reason. Two, this may not, because it's a lieutenant, not a Lord Lieutenant, confirm the status of our county. And thirdly, the King acts according to the advice of his ministers of the day. So again, we'd be asking the King to essentially say, I'm going to break a lot of rules for Rutland. But then the Mount Horseshoes we have, maybe that's the kind of thing he should be considering. So these are the options so far that I've identified. If any of you have any routes I haven't thought of, or if any of you are geniuses in legislation, please come forward and tell me. I have to say a big thank you to Dr. Sarah Furness, because she's been speaking to the palace while I've been speaking to politicians and I'm legal experts, and we're trying to merge together our understanding to get to the bottom of it. So in terms of our options, just to remind you, we can, at the moment, it looks like join Leicestershire in one big giant donut, or we can join the Leicestershire local, where again I'd have to fight to make sure that Rutland was in the name of whatever unitary we join, so we don't just join Leicestershire, it'd be joining East Leicestershire and Rutland, or whatever the name might be. We could have the status quo, or we could put forward an alternative. In terms of my concerns with the proposals, we've covered the loss of ceremonial county in detail, so I won't go over that again. The next, as I say, is the process and speed. This isn't a choice, it's currently being imposed on us. Leicestershire County Council and RCC have been permitted to put in that initial letter that I covered earlier, but the districts and the boroughs, let alone MPs or any of us, have not been given a chance to have our say. The current information sat with government, in terms of how Rutland is seen, is that we want a mayoralty, we support reorganisation, and we accept city expanding its borders. I'm not sure that's the consensus of our communities. The speed at which government is moving is not producing that space for public discussion, and it's not even giving councils the ability to really do the work to get the data and evidence they need to work out what's best for them. In terms of the future, as I've said, there's very little engagement planned. The government expects Rutland County Council to hold public meetings and to do engagements. Obviously, I would urge them to do that, but there is no space for referendums. I have done the calculations for how much it would cost. It would cost a few tens of thousands for us to hold a referendum in Rutland and for us to have our say. So it's not free. This isn't easy. But Rutland County Council could call a referendum. They'd have to decide on what question and at what stage, and that would be for them to do. bigger, better fallacy. As I say, there is no proof that bigger is better. There is an academic who's been studying local council reform who 10 years ago said that the search for optimum size of council has proven to be as successful as the search for the Philosopher's Stone. And I think that's true because we are the people that show the exception to the rule. We have all sorts of challenges when it comes to our service, and I will not sit here and be an apologist for Rutland County Council. If you were the MP and you dealt with them, you'd have a lot of frustrations yourself. However, that is the job of local council. No local council is liked. And if I said to any of you in the room, there aren't anyone, if there were people here from Leicestershire or from Lincolnshire, and I said to them, do you love your county council? They wouldn't put their hands up, and they'd probably make a face and say they found them to be a nightmare as well. But the evidence does not show that bigger is better, and the reality of social care is the best example for us. We are on the top five in the country for our highways, and we are number one for adult social care, which is the biggest challenge facing every single council in this country. The District Councils Network has issued a load of FOIs to government, and the government has not commissioned any work or any assessments to back up their half a million figure or back up 380,000. So we don't know the evidence on which they've decided these figures. There's also the cost of restructuring, rebranding, repopulating, and all that kind of jazz. And the other thing I would say is that in my experience as an MP, and I know it's only over 5 years, when I was representing Melton, trying to get Leicestershire County Council to care about what was happening in Melton and the Vale was a nightmare. And they're not far. We're talking about a 45-minute drive here. I fought for the Melton Mowbray Distributor to be built after 50 years, and the amount of times they said, well, we're going to kill it because, you know, that part of the county, there isn't that much development. It's so rural. You know, we need to focus on our kind of towards Nuneaton, towards Birmingham, towards Loughborough and the D2N2 corridor. Melton was constantly forgotten. And you all know from when Rutland was part of Leicestershire that we never got our fair share, which I'll come on to in a moment. When it comes to representation, I worry about our voice because democracy and accountability matters. As you've seen so far, we've had no voice in this process. I've had no voice in this process at all. So in a new council, I would question what would their focus be? Is it going to be protecting our rural way of life? Is it about recognising that rural areas have different needs? As I say, I've seen that magnified. Stamford, again. You know, you mention the word Grantham or Lincoln anywhere in Stamford on the doorstep, and you get a right earful about the fact that essentially Stamford feels like it's milked for all its money and its contributions to Lincolnshire. The other example I'd make is that I do a lot of work with MPs around the world, particularly in Europe, and the amount of WhatsApps I get from them mocking me for posting about the fact that I'm fighting to protect our bin collection to be every 2 weeks and not every 3 weeks, the amount of mocking I get going, why are you knocking on doors? Why are you sat in a village hall doing 2 hours of surgeries? Around Europe, where they have much bigger systems, where MPs represent 200,000 to 400,000 people, there is no local connection. The MPs are not fighting on local issues, they don't knock on doors, and they find it hilarious that I spend so much of my time doing it. They've even edited videos of me out in the hail with their various commentary and voices about what I'm doing. All the evidence shows the more you increase the population or geographical scale of local government units, it has a bad impact on democratic criteria. So turnout is lower at elections, public trust in councillors goes down, the level of engagement goes down, but also the number of councillors from major national parties goes up because people don't know their independents and they don't know they're people who are standing for smaller parties. And I know it doesn't benefit me to say that, but that is the reality that we'd be looking at. Again, as I said, the number of councillors, we could end up with only three or we could end up with six at best. Best luck. And obviously low representation leads us to have local issues being marginalised, policies not in our interests. And as one Leicestershire MP put it to me, Rutland would be the mouse in the rowing boat with an elephant. So in terms of the voice of councillors and MPs, I'm really concerned about this as well. The position of Rutland County Council at this time is that the future of our county is a decision for the leader only. So councillors will not get a vote. The cabinet won't even get a vote. It will rest just on one person to make that decision. Now, that's also not what was told to other councillors before Christmas. However, I've now had it in writing that that is the position. There is a full council meeting on the 11th, I think it is, but there's no vote. So councillors will be allowed to stand up and say we're happy or we're not happy, but it doesn't actually impact on decision making. And we also know that because the letter on the 10th went without any other person signing it off or any other political party or any other view. And I feel really strongly that this should be party apolitical. I'm working really closely with the Liberal Democratic leader of Harborough because we both want to stop making sure the city doesn't expand into Harborough. This process doesn't really affect me as the MP. I will represent Rutland as long as you're willing to re-elect me, no matter who the council is. But I think it's really important that we have the right decisions being made for our county with as many people having say. And what we've seen in other areas, for example, Northamptonshire, is the leader has said, I'm going to give every councillor a vote on this because it's about the future of our entire county and not just about my decision making. Equity and fair share, as I've touched on, with less representation, we won't get our fair share. We saw this last time when we were in Leicestershire, but we've even seen it with something called the LEPs, which is Local Enterprise Partnerships. So essentially, government set these up to try and really push forward money coming in to really kind of bolster business and opportunity and industry within areas. We were in the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough model. We didn't really get our fair share. So then Rutland moved to being with Leicestershire, thinking we might get our fair share, and we didn't. And then we moved to the Lincolnshire LEP, thinking we might get our fair share. The Lincolnshire LEP sent through a 30-page, very glossy document to me just after Christmas. There wasn't one mention of Rutland in their entire document, even though we pay to be a member of the Lincolnshire LEP. Because unfortunately, whenever we join these big organisations, they forget about us or they milk us. As I say, costs, we have no idea what the costs are going to be, but councillors are having to cover all those costs themselves, which again is money being taken away from frontline services. So how do we mitigate some of these concerns as we go forward? Well, the first one, of course, is which model we back. It should be our say. We should be able to make a representation, should be able to say what we want. We could move for an alternative proposal. We could just say, do you know what, we're all happy to try a new model of local government, but we want to protect our own county. We could demand a referendum. We could put in place red lines, so things like smaller council divisions. So if we're going to be pushed into, I really hope not the donut, because I will say very clearly that is not my preference, but if we move into two unitaries, we could say we want smaller divisions so that Rutland ends up with 9 councillors or something more representative so that we keep democracy as close to home as possible. We would, of course, say, and I would be very clear on this, I expect our council tax to go down to match the average across Leicestershire. Because at the moment, there is no promise that if we join Leicestershire that our council tax would go down. They don't need to do it. There's no requirement for them to do it. And I've been trying to push to get essentially assurances, could we force that to be the case? It would just have to be a red line. And that's all about how you negotiate and how you play the cards that you have. And we'd have to play them very, very strongly. So does this have to happen? Do we have a choice? There was a lot of excitement after a statement by the local government minister a few weeks ago where he said, the government is not requiring any area to reorganise. What we did was write out and invite proposals to be submitted. But when you turn to the white paper they published, as you can see, there's more in it. So the English Devolution White Paper outlines that government, as I say, will legislate for a ministerial directive to enable the government to create strategic authorities and local government reform where local leaders have not agreed to devolve powers. The government has said it will limit its use of this power, of course, to instances where all other routes have been exhausted. They've also said it will be used to conclude the process where there is majority support, but there's no way of determining what majority support means, or where the formation is essential to complete the rollout of strategic authorities. By that they mean not having orphans like us in the middle of nowhere. If we say we can't agree devolution, it gives us more power, and it gives us a chance to delay. But my husband did say to me the other day, the phrase resistance is futile, which is, for a Trekkie like me, definitely strung home. So as you can see, they're very clear here that they will legislate to make it necessary to ensure progress. So what do I want to hear from you? Essentially, your thoughts on what has been proposed for Rutland. And it's really hard, because when I started drafting this, like 3 weeks ago, I tried to be really neutral. But the more I wrote it, the more radicalised I got. So I apologise, because I know there will be some of you who feel passionately that we should rejoin Leicestershire. And we heard some of those views last week, and I want to hear them. But what I would love to hear from you is, if we are forced to go through with this, do you want one unitary for the whole of Leicestershire and Rutland? Do you want two unitaries, in which case do you already have a view on north, south, east or west? Or what are the red lines I should be pushing for if we have these negotiations? What are your priorities? What are your concerns? And then any questions I can try and answer. But as you can see, local government reform is not my area of expertise, so I understand it as much as anyone else in the room. But really, over to you. And at the very end, we'll do a little straw poll, because that was suggested by somebody at the last meeting. It was actually really helpful. So any thoughts, comments, questions? Over to you. Please, over to you.
Hello. My name's Richard. I have done a little bit of finance in the MOD. You said, if I got it right, that there was a one-off cost saving for the entire project of £400 million.
Which the MOD would laugh at, because that's
which
their paper cost.
Which actually comes into the noise in government. You know, that's lost in the roundings at the end of the year when you're spending the billions that they are. And they haven't fronted up to the ongoing running costs. So there will be a crossover point, and it strikes me that at the highest level, This is not value for money, so why is it being pursued? Any thoughts?
I'm trying to go back because I shortcutted the money because I was worried about how long you were having to listen to my voice. But essentially, yes. So they've worked out that the reorganisation would have a one-off cost of, this is the PwC report that the government refers to, £400 million and the potential to realise a few billion over 5 years. Post-implementation net recurring saving is £700 million. But that's before you add in the mayoralty level, which we don't know how much that would cost, particularly in a rural area, what that would mean. So there are no figures at the moment, and when you put in written questions, which a lot of us as MPs have, saying, can you please tell us more about the costs? They're being honest, they don't know, because there isn't an assessment. So in terms of why is it being done, there's two things, which is, look, historically, you know, I've spoken to quite a few of my Labour MP friends, and they're like, we just hate districts, we don't think they work. And also, particularly when you represent cities, that's not really a thing. You don't have district councils, you have the city council, and it's a one council. It is really difficult having so many councils. So I represent three counties, the only MP in the country. I have many district councils. I have many county councils, let alone now having a mayoralty potentially put in place on at least two mayors. So it is difficult. So if you're government, if you're told you've only got 10 mayors to deal with, that makes things a lot easier. And you can just devolve in big bulks of money and say, go distribute it. And the idea is sound that if money is devolved and powers are devolved, then you'd have better opportunity locally and better decisions being made than were made in Parliament. However, you are stripping out the lowest level that does it. So there's essentially a perspective about the preference, which is to scrap districts, but then also the belief that genuinely it would make things faster for essentially getting money out of the system and how it moves. That's the arguments I've had put to me so far, but particularly on obviously things like housing and planning. And look at, you know, West Midlands, it has worked. You know, Andy Street has done an amazing job. Andy Burnham in Manchester, it has worked in those two models. But I would argue very strongly, and you don't know how many arguments I have with the NHS when they just put the Midlands for data. We are the East Midlands. We are fundamentally different. What we haven't seen yet is it work in rural areas. And that's not for want of trying. You know, Western England mayor, the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough mayor. So it does work in some places. I'm just not convinced it works everywhere. And that's also the evidence in the District Council network who says rural areas are the ones who will suffer most from this. But then if you look at the housing targets, the government has reduced the housing targets for Leicester City, Nottingham City, Peterborough City, and they've increased ours by 123%. I've got so many counties, it's difficult to remember the numbers. But I think ours is 123%. Southcote Stephen's gone up, Harper's gone up, everyone's gone up. So I think there's also a thing about rural versus city, and it's very difficult to fight for money for rural areas. You'll all remember the levelling up money we got. We were the number one news story on all the BBCs that day because people were outraged that Rutland was being given money for levelling up. But the reason we've been given money for levelling up is because we've got such high rurality and some of the lowest social mobility in the country, which means if you're born into a wealthy family in Rutland, you will have a wonderful life. But if you're born into a tougher background, your ability to lift yourself out of that is so much harder. And that was the argument we put to government. And they went, oh, they're right, let's give them some money because they need some support. But the country was an uproar. How dare this rural, you know, posh, well-off area be given money? But, yeah, so it's quite a difficult argument to make nationally as well. Please, sir, sorry.
I was just going to say, where was this in the Labour Party manifesto at the last election?
So mayoralties was in their manifesto. They were very clear they wanted to bring in mayoralties, but no, local government reorganisation was not in the manifesto, and that is a point that is being made by every political party, and even some Labour councillors in some areas. Because obviously this is the really weird thing we've got at the moment. In some parts of the country, Lib Dems have said to suspend the elections. In other parts of the country, Conservatives have said suspend the elections. In some parts of the country, Conservatives are saying, how dare you suspend elections. In some parts of the country, Lib Dems are saying, how dare you suspend it. And it's the same with Labour. They're a lot more quiet because it's difficult when it's your own government. But we do have Labour councils around the country saying, I don't support this. It wasn't in the manifesto. It isn't right. So it wasn't, but...
What is the chance of actually getting the House of Lords on our side? So, because they've got no mandate.
So at the moment, the Conservatives can pass things in the House of Lords. We can't win in the Commons at the moment on votes, but we are winning votes in the House of Lords, particularly when crossbench peers come with us. And obviously there's a lot more freedom when you're a Lord to vote as you wish. But I don't want us to get to the point of having to win votes because it's not going to end well for us. So my goal is to make sure that I use all my relationships. I've worked with Angela Rayner when she was in opposition, you know, to get changes to the procurement bill and things like that. My goal is to use the relationships we have to try and get us to the place where we're not having to fight, where we're not having to protest. But then again, you might all tell me, I don't care about my identity, scrap it, let it go, fine, let's shove Leicestershire on the signs into our county and that's fine. And in which case, I will just have to say my opinion is this, but I don't have the support of my county.
I accept your comments about rural mayors being less effective than the urban ones, but being pragmatic, it seems to me the only way to get money or influence out of government is going to be through a mayoralty. Mm. Should we perhaps, in terms of which unitaries we look at, be looking at which works best in going towards a mayoralty? And did you include Lincoln in your numbers for Lincolnshire and Rutland, or did you draw the boundary short of there? Because if we link Lincoln in, maybe it would have the support of the current mayor of Lincolnshire, because he might then manage to keep a post and not have to move up to Humberside.
I'm not going to lie, I suspect that if I went to Lincoln Cathedral and said I want you all to become Rutlanders overnight, I might be running from pitchforks. Well, they haven't got pitchforks because they're a city, but I'd be running from them. So no, I didn't include Lincoln in my figures, I just looked at South Kesteven. And actually, if I'm honest, if we held a referendum across the whole of South Kesteven, do I think that people in Grantham, for example, would say they want to become Rutlanders? I'm not sure they would. Yes, the South, Stamford, you know, the beautiful villages around it, there's a really strong feeling towards how much they feel that in terms of a rural way of life and the way they live their lives, they look more to us and we look to them. In terms of your point about getting money and getting it to our communities, I want more money for our communities. You've all heard me bang on about fair funding almost relentlessly. We can get money, though, because we got the levelling up, despite everyone saying we could never, ever get it. However, my question is, if we had that devolved to that mayoralty level, and again, we don't know if we're going to end up at East Midlands mayor, so we could get shoved in with Derbyshire and Nottingham. I was very angry when Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire came together and announced they were calling the mayor the East Midlands mayor, because they're missing a lot of the East Midlands when they said that. But my worry was that it was a sign for what they thought was going to come in time, which was that Leicestershire would join them, then Lincolnshire would join them, especially now that the Lincolnshire mayor is questionable in terms of its future. If we were part of either an enormous East Midlands mayoralty, or we were just part of a Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland mayoralty, do we really think that when they're looking at where to put bus routes or where to put in new services, they're going to look to us? That's the challenge. So it's a really difficult one because, again, particularly Andrew Street, I've worked with him really closely. He has performed amazing things. You know, we've seen airports reopened, Teesside that you never thought you'd see reopened. Old industrial heartlands brought back to life. I just don't buy that we would benefit. And I may be completely wrong, in which case I'll put my hands up like I have in the past where I've been wrong and say, wow, 10 years and look what we've got. We've got all this investment, all this money coming to Rutland. It's not my experience that Leicestershire looks to want to support Rutland to receive funds.
Thank you very much for calling this meeting and fitting us all in. I'm Steve from Ketton, so right in the far east of Rutland, and obviously I have affinity to Stamford. I've always believed that the economic model for Rutland could be challenged on the basis it's so small, so few people paying, as against larger county and unitary authorities. And my career as a banker led me towards that economic standpoint. But we have seen in Stamford, particularly on the medical side, where the joining of so many, I mentioned doctors, all together, where you thought a central point could provide the services to let doctors look after the medical side of people's needs, it just didn't happen, and it just proved to be another cost. So you are absolutely correct that bigger is not necessarily better. On the basis that we appear to have a steamroller government, particularly in the name of Angela Rayner, it does seem that I won't say to accept everything is the correct thing to do, because it clearly isn't. But if there's an opportunity for an east-west divide in Leicestershire to include Rutland, we really do need to split out the central city side of things, where representation per thousand head of population is very different to representation per thousand head of population in rural areas. Mm-hmm. And the thought of moving down from 27 councillors in this county to 3 or 6 or 9 is absolutely appalling. So we really should be pressing for the proper representation to look after the people that actually are still breathing bodies, and they still have a view and a right to democracy, to local democracy.
Thank you. It's interesting what you say about the East. The amount of times I've sat down with Rutlanders who live on the east or live on the other side of the A1 who are like, we don't feel like we're even listened to in Oakham. And if we have that in Rutland, imagine it at a different model. But your point about the economics, it is really tough for Rutland. You know, the fair funding model means that us and Leicestershire are the two worst funded councils in the country. The reason for that is because we're so rural. So the government funding formula weights towards deprivation. Now, if you've seen rural deprivation, and I have seen some appalling rural deprivation over my few years as an MP, and the good thing about being in a small area is we can go in and we can intervene and we can support them and do something about it, but it is really tough economically. The budget has had to go into its reserves this year, as we know, for the Rutland County Council. I'm hoping one of the councillors in the room will tell me if I'm correct, but the government cut our rural services grant, which is something I helped get put in place. So I think we've lost 14% of our budget, is that right? So we've had £1.5 million cut from our budget this year, which in our normal budget is around £4 million. So if you've lost £1 million out of your budget, so that was brought in by the new government. So the rural services grant getting cut really hurt us. It's hurt all the rural councils. But when you're as small as us, we are, of course, bounced around far more. So there is no one who should ever say that Rutland County Council economically is the easiest decision in the world to continue to support, because it's really complicated. On your point about Lakeside, just to reassure you, particularly for people who live in the east, I'm working on it. I had some really good meetings last week. There's a lot of people in Rutland go to Lakeside. There's a public consultation going on. In July, I'll have more news, but I am optimistic. But these things aren't easy. And to your point about voices, yes. So I think smaller wards would have to be one of our red lines. More people representing us from our area. Next person.
Yes, Trevor Cohen. I'm a local councillor in Uppingham. I really want to follow on from the previous two speakers. I want to follow on from the previous two speakers and look at this, as we all have to do in councils generally when we're looking at money, the pragmatic approach. Thank you for your presentation. I certainly believe the long game here is the mayoralty. I think we can forget anything underneath that. The whole end game is to get mayors. We have to understand that both sides of the political spectrum have, as you pointed out quite rightly, you've been fair on that, have supported mayoralties, okay? We look at ourselves, we are rural, we are essentially rural. The success or otherwise of this current government seems to revolve around significant infrastructure projects at the moment. Even those are in question. But you're right to highlight the household names, the Andy Burnhams, these people. They have given money and they have massive projects to spend money on. Our emphasis here is rural. So to cut a long story short, on the pragmatic side, if we want to demonstrate and get representation in that area, the east-west model looks the better one. This is not about devolution either, because the central government, although they will say it's devolution, they have control of the treasury of the money. So in other words, they will be sending money to who they see as the most successful mayor. And that may well come down to personalities. So in terms of the pragmatism and looking at a rural model here, we really have to think of the long game. You know, who? We need a mayor that would represent rural interests, in my opinion. Otherwise, we'll get subsumed into the other aspect where we will really be marginalised. We're already going to be marginalised. Mm-hmm. That's quite clear. Coming down to six councillors maximum, that means we're going to be marginalised. You know, common sense tells me that. So anyway, that's my vote for at this moment as you present it. We would be unique, I suspect, in having a mayor focusing on perhaps rural affairs, although I suspect if they're given money, they could spend it. I don't know what the large projects would be in this area, but essentially we're going to be marginalised, and I think we need to get our ammunition in first, be pragmatic, but certainly not the status quo. It doesn't look, you know, with all due respect, Angela Rayner has targets. And it doesn't surprise me about, you know, round numbers, 500,000, 400 million. You know, common sense tells me those numbers have been plucked out of the air. So
I think it's really difficult. And look, this is one of the things that I will say, you know, for Rutland County Council, it's really hard. Because if you've got this kind of resistance is futile thing at the back of your head, which we're all being told, you have to decide, well, how bullish am I going to be? How much am I going to push back? If Rutland County Council is too bullish, will government just say there's no point talking to them or including them in conversations? We'll just talk to Peter Salisbury and we'll talk to Leicestershire County Council because they both want this. That is a risk. And that's, as an MP, the balance I constantly had when we were in power last time, where, to your point, sir, about having only three to six voices, Don't get me wrong, one voice can cause a lot of trouble. And I constantly had to balance the fact that I was quite difficult towards my own government. I challenged them a lot, but I did it when I thought it was right to do it. But I had to constantly choose how to have that argument and the ways in which to do it. And I was lucky because I won most of my arguments. But what does Rutland County Council do? They've got to really work that out. How hard are they going to go? What cards they play? When do they do it? But that's also where I say to them, use me. Let me be a counterpoint for some things. Let us have a referendum. You know, because if we had a referendum where we said either we cannot lose our identity or we cannot lose our county council, that gives them a lot more bartering power when they say to government, well, look, our people don't want this, so if you want us to agree to this, you need to give us an exceptional deal for us to get on board. I think your point about would they give money to us if they've got a choice between rural Leicestershire, even though we would have the city, or the Greater Humber, I think I know where the money's going to end up. The one thing I would say, in credit to the government, is that we only have one Conservative mayor at the moment, and there's across the whole country, and there's a lot of narrative about, is this gerrymandering? I don't think it is, actually. I do think it's ideological, they want mayors. I don't think it is an automatic assumption that they will always get Labour mayors. They currently do. But the one Conservative mayor we have, which is in Teesside, they have invited him to every discussion. So I'm really grateful to them for that, because they could decide not to do that. But yes, so I think the point about cards and how do we play them is really difficult. And that is really difficult for Rutland County Council. Who'd like to give a please, madam?
Thank you. My name's Janet and I live in Wissendine, so in the west of the county. I want to actually clarify a couple of things. If I recall correctly, you said that we had to have a population of 500,000. Leicester City only has a population of 350,000. So how, other than taking over neighbouring areas, are they going to achieve 500,000 is my first point. My second point is that I think it's absolutely awful that our whole future is in the hands of just one person, the leader of the council. We really should have a voice in all this.
So on the 500, 380, that's my fault for not explaining clearly. I'm trying desperately to get a lot of information in. So they've said 500,000, but then MHCOG has gone to the Treasury and said, we're not sure we're going to get this through. And the Treasury has said, OK, we will give you an absolute baseline minimum that you have to have 380,000 in a unitary. So when that looks at us, Leicestershire can very easily hit 380. That's not a problem for us. We can hit it enough to have two unitaries, hence the proposal for us having two. But that is what therefore takes us to this decision within the letter where RCC and LCC have said, we agree that the boundaries of the city need to expand so that the city can hit its numbers. My frustration with that, as an MP whose constituency goes all the way to the border of Leicester, is that there are thousands of empty homes in Leicester. There are thousands of empty factories sat there that haven't been built on. Leicester has not hit its housing targets the last few years. Rutland has hit its housing targets. Harborough has hit its housing targets. So we are being punished for not hitting ours, and they're being told, don't worry, we're going to let you expand into the rural area. Now, I don't know if Harborough is what Peter Salisbury wants. I think it's probably areas like Thurmaston that he wants. But that's why I launched a petition with Neil O'Brien, my neighbouring MP, saying we do not want the city to take control of Harborough. You may, LCC and RCC, have said that there's consent. There is not consent. And it hit something like 3,000 or 4,000 signatures in like 24 hours. Because if you live in our Harborough villages, you know, Bilson, Houghton, Stoughton, you name it, you know, Medbourne, Hallerton, they may go to the city for things, but they actually look to Rutland in terms of the way they live their lives and the way they see themselves as people. So that's how they do that. And on your point about voice, you know, I completely agree, hence why I've made the point this evening. Because if I don't make the point now, we may come next week be bulldozed into a certain decision, or we may be bulldozed come March, and therefore I felt I had to say tonight that I think it's wrong that only one person currently is going to be making the decision. And in fact, Michael is from the Harborough Villages. Michael, do you want to join City of Leicester? There you go, one-word answer is all we need. Please.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for that presentation. That was extremely helpful and interesting. It seems sort of sine qua non that this is actually going to happen and that we don't have much choice in it. But what you did say is that we have a choice in which model we can back.
Yeah.
But who is going to take the ultimate decision in which model, and how will any of us actually have a say in it?
The final decision sits with Angela Rayner. Leicestershire County Council and Rutland County Council will both be asked for their opinion on what model they prefer. Again, to the point about being apolitical on this, Leicestershire County Council is Conservative run. And I was very clear the day they put out their proposal that they want one donut that I would not support that and that I was not happy with it. So again, you know, this is what I mean about we've got to do what's right for our communities. Conservative run Leicestershire County Council may want one big donut. That is not right for Rutland, in my opinion. I do not see how that could work for us. Again, in 10 years' time, I may sit here and apologise to you and say I was very wrong. But essentially, LCC and RCC both get a say. They can put forward letters where they say what they want. And then, essentially, it's government decision. The districts are obviously moving to work together. I think there is a likelihood that within the next month, probably quicker, because I've said we have to do this by mid-Feb, that there will be a number of MPs who, with the district councils, and I hope with RCC, will say this is the model we want. And that is why the district councils have put so much money across Leicestershire into paying for consultants to try and work out is north-south or is east-west better. And I'm really grateful to them for finding that money because all the budgets are tight, particularly with all the rural cuts that have happened. So essentially, I'm hoping that at least then we might be able to say this is the model that a lot of stakeholders back across Leicestershire government, so please listen to us. It is possible, of course, the government says Leicestershire is just too difficult. We're going to put you on a side pile. But a conversation I had with the Labour minister, they said, look, the north is sorted. The south is really complicated. So we just want to sew up the Midlands. Because the west is sorted, let's just get the Midlands sorted. We can say we've done it. So my worry is that even if I was to be as difficult as I can be, we would end up with getting the kind of force through. But technically, both LCC and RC have equal say, technically, but also alongside the city mayor.
Okay, thank you. That's quite depressing, but thank you.
But we fought for independence once, we could fight for again.
Good evening, my name is Chris, and I've been a permanent resident of Oakham for 2 years, so to some extent I have no right to be here. But I came from North Yorkshire, and Alicia did mention earlier on that North Yorkshire and the City of York have combined and have formed themselves into a combined authority. Mm. And they have a mayor, and the mayor spent his first year starting or kicking something anyhow regarding a very large regeneration project in the middle of York, and this year is focusing on the rural area. And I mention this because you're not alone, because the districts in North Yorkshire, all seven of them, were required to go through a reorganisation process about 3 years ago now, promoted, I would think, by the County Council, Conservative, who were looking southwards and seeing a mass of metropolitan mayors. And they saw the urban focus and the regional focus. And if you go to agglomeration economics, you just think the more and more people down there, actually, how are we going to get any influence in North Yorkshire for our rural economy? But nonetheless, they proceeded with this. And the deal was that as long as there was local government reorganisation to create a unitary authority, North Yorkshire would survive, and what's more, it would then be invited to the table regarding financing. Once that had happened, they realised that the City of York, another 20,000 people sitting on their eastern side, also wanted to play, and indeed being a city, in that sense, was getting a fair bit of investment interest. So they put all the political differences to one side, so me as a mere resident observed, and they eventually said, right, we will have a combined authority. It was voted for, and there is now a mayor, as I've just said. So I don't think there's anything to be scared of, because I think the big picture here, which has been set out for probably 20 years now, from the time when, in fact, the North East decided it did not want to have a regional government, for those of you who can remember, I see there's enough white hair around here for people to remember that there was going to be some other way of filling the devolution deficit which exists in England. And the initiatives for combined authorities and those deals came from the Coalition and Conservative governments. And that is where the North Yorkshire thing came from. So although I hear this evening it's an Angela raid and the thing, as it were, this is a process in English government and English local government, which has been going on for decades. Where I would like to be is to see, just of my independent view, I think Leicestershire is a very funny county because I think it runs north-south up the M1, because that's where I see a lot of the economic basis. And it's also interesting that, and I now understand the politics of it a little bit more, where Leicestershire County and Leicestershire City aren't necessarily coming together very well, unless you use the term the donut. My view, and you can find this in Office of National Statistics, is that there is a category which says Greater Leicester Urban Area, and that has a population of 560,000. Now, I haven't seen a map to see what that area is in terms of the districts, but I'd be a bit surprised if it is actually based on districts. I think it's based on more sensitive information. So my own thought was I was a bit surprised that there wasn't an option for, in effect, West Leicestershire, or what you might call sort of metropolitan Leicestershire, and the other half million, would be sort of rural Leicestershire, with or without Rutland. Now, there's one other thing before I shut up, but that is when I was reading the parts of the white paper before it gets to mayors, it talks about, because of the wish to try and get a strategic agreement between adjoining authorities, that there was something called strategic foundation councils, which is a mix of existing local authorities coming together. And I wondered whether sort of stage naught for what might happen if to Rutland and within the overall concept of Leicestershire would be to say, look, Rutland is a competent authority. It is something which has been in existence since 1997. We exist. We can easily form part of a foundation authority. There's a unitary Leicester City and there is an existing two-tier county council. Why isn't that good enough as being the first stage to meet government's wishes for parts of the country to be able to talk strategically? If the next stage is a mayoralty and the deal for that is one has to then get rid of the two-tier local government, well, I think so be it. But I'm not sure that actually is quite a matter for Rutland. However, thank you very much, but I've said enough, and I enjoy living here. Thank you.
So just on that, so yes, as I said, mayoralties are a long-standing idea that had been worked across the Conservatives. The difference was that we didn't require local government reorganisation. So the Yorkshire model, the districts all said, yes, we're up for it, we want to do it. The county councils all said they want to do it. So it wasn't imposed by the government, there was no requirement for them to do it. I think your point around democratic deficit is really important. I don't know what the Greater Leicester area is. I haven't ever heard that terminology, so I will take that away and have a look and see if there's a map that I've missed. Grab me tonight if you know about it and you can tell me, but I will go and look at the Greater Leicester area and see what that means. I suspect it means Leicester and the whole of Leicestershire, but I may be very wrong, so let me have a look.
Evening. My name is Chris. Go back several generations in Rutland. Various things I'd like to highlight. First and foremost, obviously, having always resided in Rutland, I was here when we went into Leicestershire previously, and I think most folk who are in this room tonight have memories of that particular period, and we certainly managed to retain our Rutland name, even if it meant almost scrawling out Leicestershire, and certainly scrawling out Leicestershire on letters and replacing it with Rutland, which in fact I used to have to do with my first job, but that's by the by. I think it's quite easy for people to become quite emotional about our county. It's a beautiful county and we love living here, but there is also the economic argument. And I think, to pick up on the points that have been raised this evening, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think we have the third highest rates in the country.
Certainly
our son and his wife, who live in West London, Chiswick, pay less council tax than we do. But my point over that is that we, from what you've been saying this evening, is that we have little or no say unless we do something about it. The decision will be taken on our behalf by the possibility of just one councillor. This, to me, seems completely undemocratic. I think also the fact that we've talked about the options of, well, what do we do? We have very little time. Mid-March, a decision has to be made. Well, quite frankly, people take longer to decide on a holiday location than something as fundamental as this. No. And that we have to make a choice, or rather one person on our behalf will make a choice within less than 2 months, is absolutely ridiculous. I think all of us tonight have attended because we're aware of the situation. I think at large, the country isn't aware of the situation. I'd like to see far more media coverage of this, not just on a local level, which we'll have this evening, but on a national level, that boundaries, major, major fundamental changes are taking place, and there's been very little coverage. I think the fact that this may well happen in the fullness of time and boundaries will change is a separate argument. The fact that it has to be decided in less than 2 months is quite frankly ridiculous and should be fought.
So to confirm your worst expectations, our council tax is the highest, not second or third, and a lot of that is to do with the funding formula, as I've said, but also it is to do with the lower community, rural areas, it costs more to deliver services and all sorts of things. However, it's interesting that despite how difficult our budget situation is, that so often we're found to be a well-run council in terms of the way we run our finances. I think your point about being emotional is a really important one. As I said, I got more and more radicalised the more I tried to prepare for this. But I would also say we are fundamentally different to other areas, and I think it's quite difficult sometimes to put that into words. So my mum's entire family come from Rutland. When I stood for election, I never talked to you all about that because I hadn't grown up in Rutland and I hadn't spent lots of time there. But I am a Rutlander and it matters to me deeply, and I could never now be anything else. And the thing I point to and I try and explain to people is during the pandemic, when the government was doing tiering, and it's my government, they were going to tier us with Leicester City and Leicestershire. And so we went to all those months of tiering, that was the plan. And I had to fight and fight and fight to convince them that Rutland should be tiered separately. And they told me that I was adding bureaucracy and difficulties, and the NHS told me it was a nonsense, and so on, so on, so on. And yet when we won, and we were tiered on our own, you saw the difference. Our community adhered, our community cohesion, I still struggle to put it into words, but our response was very different to a lot of the communities around us. And that is why I had people from Rutland emailing me going, please build a wall. You know, the Sun saying, you know, after the apocalypse, the Rutlanders are going to have to repopulate the whole country because we were the only ones in green. We respond differently and we are different. And there is something so special that I wish other communities had. And when I talk to other MPs, they find it mad that everyone in Rutland knows who each other are, and that when I talk about places, as much as, you know, Ryle might say no one knows about Ryle and we always forget about RR, we don't. It's wonderful. On your point about media, I have to say an enormous credit to our local media, but this is why I'm holding this public meeting, and I've had lots of criticism behind doors, not to my face, that I'm doing this for political reasons. Find one, because it doesn't change my job. Or it's too early for me to be doing this. We needed to make sure you knew what was happening. And our local media have been phenomenal. The Telegraph has had 10 letters a day on average. Interesting, Telegraph so heavily represented by Rutland. However, on average, 10 letters a day from people saying what is happening to Rutland is wrong. Double page spread yesterday, Sunday Telegraph. People only seem to think now it's happening to Rutland, but it's not. It's the whole country. And I think your point around timings and needing to kick up a fuss in Parliament, at the moment, I don't think this is getting enough attention in Parliament because political parties are completely divided depending on which area of the country they represent. So for whips offices, it's quite difficult for them to work with all their members. So we're not getting the focus that I wish we had. But then again, a lot of people say, what's going to happen to us? So what's the point? But I think at least if we... And at the last meeting, I raised a referendum and a lot of people said, actually, I don't think we should have a referendum because I don't know what the question would be, but also I think it might be a waste of money because we're not going to get it. That's the kind of discussion we should be having. Do we want to force a referendum? And if so, what should the question be, at what process? And it may be that you will say, no, save the 50 grand. We've got other things we need to pay for, like saving those black bin collections that I'm determined to win on. But yes, your point is really well made about it. But it is difficult to strip out the emotions. And economically, it's always going to be difficult for us. But that's why, for example, I'd love to see SKDC, Melton and the Vale join us, because that would fundamentally change our entire platform in terms of the way we bring in money. And I would hope would allow us to reduce our council tax.
Hi, my name's Justin.
Where are you? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I'm only a little, nobody can see me. I actually moved to Rutland in January 97, just before they regained the unitary status. And now I find myself, 25 years later, at the beginning of a campaign to get it back again, by the look of it. This is the first time I've felt the need to man the barricades since I was on the Hillingdon Peace Council in 1980 and declared Hillingdon a nuclear-free zone. The question I've got for you is, and you've just touched on it, are there other historic counties, regions, areas in the country that, we obviously know Rutland, but are there others that are going to lose their identity? And if that's the case, could we perhaps try to unite with those other places around the country that are going to suffer the same sort of thing as a result of this latest lunacy.
So your suggestion is bang on, and it was one of the thoughts I had. And so I started messaging around people from all sorts of different political parties saying, what's happening in your area? And unfortunately, so far, I haven't found anyone. I thought in the Isle of Wight, I might have found a partner because they're being forced to move into this giant merger. But actually, they're going to be allowed to keep their unitary on the Isle of Wight. And then they're going to also be part of a mayoralty that covers Hampshire. So far, it's really unhelpful, but I haven't been able to find anyone else. So if you please, if you see something in the media that I'm missing, or if you hear from a friend somewhere else saying they're fighting it, and I think Sarah's going to tap into her network of other Lord Lieutenants who might be fighting, please drop me a line, because I will go and find that MP and give them a lot of hugs and attention and convince them that we should work together. But it's a really good point, and it makes it harder for us if we're the only ones. However, I argue Rutland voices carry a lot more weight and we kick up a lot more of a fuss, so good luck to anyone fighting us. Please, sir.
Hi, I'm William from Tolthorpe, so almost Ryle, but not quite. If you went for the east-west divide, which seems to make quite a lot of sense, and you named it Rutland and East Leicestershire, and it's a unitary authority, don't we then retain Old Lord Lieutenant, because your unitary authority is called Rutland?
So essentially, I spoke to the Association of British Counties about this, who are normally my kind of legal experts. I work with them to get the flag for Leicestershire. They say they can't be sure it would be, because it's about the existing legislation. So essentially, it all goes back to that. I'm not going to get the years right, so I won't say them. But it all goes back to that original legislation, annoyingly. So it wouldn't matter if we suddenly called ourselves, if tomorrow we said we're now the county of, oh, I can't think of a silly name. Right, yeah, if we said we were now Teddy Bear County, we would not be able to just have a Lord Lieutenant for Teddy Bearness, unfortunately, because it's not in legislation. So these are things that I've still got to work through. And again, if any of you are legal experts that would love to spend hours looking at the legislation, please. But between the palace, me, the Association of British Counties, and everyone else I've spoken to in my team, we haven't been able to bottom out yet that we'd be able to just do it. But that would be my hope. But again, in terms of concurrency, we're still losing our unitary authority. So therefore, there's a challenge about whether we can have it or not. And sorry, just to make that clearer, so that makes sense. There is history of lots of different authorities within one ceremonial county. There is no evidence currently anywhere in the country of one ceremonial county that is absorbed within a wider county, if that makes sense. I think I said it clear when I had it written down on slide three. Yes.
Hello, I'm Pamela from Exton, and a relative newcomer to these parts. But I'm struck by a number of comments that have been made this evening, and think they're very much to the point. One of which in particular is the concern about the very rapid and hardly discussed process of all of this, that you're not receiving notification until just a matter of weeks before calling a meeting, if that, and a two-week or two-month deadline. That was one of the things that I thought was striking. But the other was the observation about the importance of making this an issue of national concern in the press. Because if this can be railroaded through effectively, there is no due process, there is no operation of the rule of law in any of this. It is an arbitrary bureaucratic decision being made for, I would suggest, strategic reasons that have nothing to do with the ostensible reasons. But to focus on the threat to any part of the country that feels that its rights of representation are being stripped away, I think that is a matter of national concern.
So I think what's really interesting... I think what's really interesting about that is we do need to somehow make this argument that it isn't just us. The challenge is I don't see anywhere else in the country at the moment where it would be as seismic a difference. And so if I look at my Lincolnshire constituents, I've got, 30-something thousand of them. I'm going to look to my team to shake their heads vigorously at me if I'm wrong. I don't think I've had a single email from anyone in Lincolnshire saying, we're not happy that we're being forced, yeah, I'm being told I'm right, we're not happy with the idea that we're going to be forced into two Lincolnshires. Because for most people, these changes won't fundamentally change what they call themselves or their identity. It just changes, essentially, whether they have to look to Lincoln for who's deciding how much their council taxes or how often their bins are collected, or whether they're looking to Grantham. And so although people may be frustrated with it, they're not flooding my inbox going, oh my God, this is awful for us, how are we going to cope? And when I look across the country, I mean, some people are putting together some really complicated proposals. There's one where bits of Bedford, Milton Keynes, a bit of Luton, and two bits of Northamptonshire proposing to come together in a new strategic mayoral authority. That's what I mean about it. Let's think of some new ideas ourselves. However, they can hit the numbers very easily when you're talking about that big of an area. But that, again, won't change their identities because their ceremonial counties will still exist because they're in legislation. and there's no way the government is going to reopen the really old legislation. So, again, if you can find anyone else, show me who I can fight with and who I can make a fuss. But I actually think for us it's the most existential in terms of what we're meant to officially call ourselves. I don't doubt that if we lost every single fight, all of us would still call ourselves Rutlanders, because we are still Rutlanders. However, should we have to have that fight? Should we have to try and argue that we are who we are? I think that's at the crux of the issue. So please, please look out when you read the papers or anything else, or speak to your friends, for anyone else I can liaise with.
I was just wondering about what would happen to the tourist industry that's based around the fact that Rutland is so unique and the smallest county, etc., etc. And all of that is just going to be completely destroyed in this proposal.
But just on that, so last meeting last week, we had the head of Discover Rutland, and he made exactly that point. He talked about the fact that, I can't remember the numbers now, it's like £4 million comes into our economy from just one weekend with Burley, where people would rather stay in Rutland and get to explore everything else and see about it. But it would fundamentally affect our tourism industry. There is no question about that. Things like the Rutland Sea Dragon, the Rutland Mosaic, where we're finally, because I managed to get some money from government, we're building up a platform, we're doing more, you know, we're finally making something of it. People have heard about Rutland now, they talk about Rutland. There is so much more we can do, and I can see a 20-year plan for where we make our tourism offer even stronger and better, because I think we haven't capitalised on it enough. That doesn't mean changing who we are, it just means making the most of how wonderful we are. But yes, so Discover Rutland were absolutely appalled with these ideas, were really, really worried about it, worried about the impact on our B&Bs, on our taxi services, on, you know, everything about it. It's a bit like the private school discussion. Lots of people think it's just about private schools. But, you know, sir, you're from Uppingham. You know, if Uppingham had to close tomorrow, the impact that would have on our shops and our cafes and everything else like that, it's the same with tourism. Tourism is fundamental to our county. And I wish he was here tonight to make the points, because he'd make it far better than I would.
Hi, I'm Neil, Oakham resident for nearly 11 years. When we get to this situation of having a mayor, would they be democratically elected? So the point I'm trying to get at is that if, heaven forbid, Leicester City, Leicestershire and Rutland were all lumped into one, would we end up with Peter Soulsby as mayor? I do hope not.
So, yes, the mayors would be absolutely democratically elected. There's no question of that. I don't think that could ever change or would ever change. In terms of what that mayoralty would be, we should be under no illusions. I do not see any circumstances in which the mayoralty is not, as a minimum, Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland. There will not be a mayor for just Leicestershire and Rutland. They will want the whole of LLR together. But actually, I don't think that would be enough at all in either way. I think we will end up subsumed either into an East Midlands mayoralty. I can't see us being subsumed into a Greater Humber mayoralty, but who knows? So I think we should assume we're going to an East Midlands, but at the minimum, yes, we are going to a Leicestershire. Do I think Peter Soulsby will win? I've got no idea. I've got no idea if Peter plans to stand again. And this is the other thing. It's quite interesting. I think some parties are trying to game out who would win, depending on different outcomes. But actually, we can't think like that, because 4 years ago, you would not have said that the Conservatives would end up in a place where so many people had lost trust in us and we'd have a decimation where we have. You know, and we have, that's the reality we face. So people who are trying to sit there and play out politics is a really dangerous route to take, because actually we need to look at how we run our lives, the rurality, where do we look, pride of place, and that is how you end up with the best possible council serving you, because they've got the same values, priorities, understanding of how we live our lives to have the right councils. Go on, William. Don't tell my whips I said that, because I'll be in a lot of trouble. But anyway, go on.
Lord Lieutenant, High Sheriff, Militia, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a proud county. And it is very good to see so many people here. But I wonder why you are here. Are you here to support Rutland? Are you here to bellyache about the council tax? Because normally that is the biggest bugbear of all Rutlanders. I'm afraid I served as a councillor for 16 years and I saw the work that was put in behind the scenes to try to extract from each government a fair share of the monies dispensed to counties. Much work was put in by your representatives. Mostly, and unfortunately, to no avail, but not for want of trying. And if you think by getting into a bigger domain, you, each of you, will benefit, you know full well, the bottom of your hearts, that it is false. The larger things get, the worse the service. When it comes to democracy, we're pretty lacking in democracy over the UK at this moment in time. However, here in Rutland, you have 27 councillors. And I don't know how many of you have written to your councillor or even spoken to them or even know them. I know when I was a councillor, I could say I probably received 5 letters over 16 years. I had quite a few phone calls, and obviously when people saw me, they probably thought, what are you going to say next? I was described by one councillor quite early in my career as a dinosaur. I said, yes, I am, but I am a living dinosaur. Rutland is a living dinosaur. It is a fossil of the past, and it needs preserving, Alicia. And you have received little support from other areas of the UK. I'm not surprised, because people did not know and do not understand what is actually being done here. Alicia, can I thank you very, very much indeed for highlighting what we have ahead of us. But what I would urge you to do is do not disdain, because with your leadership, with the support of Rutland, I think we should try to maintain a status quo for the sake of our families, our democracy, and our way of life.
Thank you.
Thank you, William. I will say it has to be all of us. If we decide to do this, we have to fight as one. It can't just be one person standing on their own, which I constantly wouldn't. I might not go for fossil of the past as our tagline for why we need to be protected, though, but thank you. Can I finish by doing a straw poll on a few questions, and I will tell you what the group said last Monday, because I think it would be interesting for you to hear what they said. Show of hands, how many of you want to protect and fight our identity, not our county council, our identity and ceremonial status? You can vote for more than one thing. So who wants to protect our identity no matter what? I'm struggling to see hands that aren't up, so almost everyone. Who wants to keep the status quo and keep having Rutland County Council as our unitary authority? How many of you who didn't vote that time, this is the only time where you can't vote for both, if you didn't vote you wanted to protect the unitary, is it because you think there's no point fighting, we've already lost the argument? If so, put your hand up yes. Yeah. If we merge, how many of you would like us to have two unitaries? So west and east or north and west, rather than just one big donut? I'm struggling again, but I think that's almost the whole... That is pretty much unanimous, isn't it? Maybe put... Okay, well, I'm going to ask in a second. Who would like one big donut? Put your hand up, please. Oh, wow. Okay. Regardless of how you voted on the previous ones, who would like us to put in an alternative proposal? Who would like Rutland County Council to put in its own? It's all right. We're saying that's a third? So as in like the South Castiva, Melton, Rutland, or, you know, so some sort of... All right, okay, so yeah, so sorry. Who would like Rutland County Council to do the work to say, yes, fine, you may be forcing this model on us, but we've done the work and actually this is what we think would be better for us and we want to mix with Melton or whoever it might be. We don't know what the outcome would be. All right, almost, yep.
That would be after a referendum.
I'm going to get to that one, don't you worry. Who would like to be part of a mayoralty, bearing in mind that I can't tell you if it's a Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland or an East Midlands one, but who would be happy to have a mayor above all of it? Who would like a referendum, bearing in mind that I can't tell you what the exact question would be at this point in time, because it would probably be either to protect our ceremonial status or to say we want to be given more choices in time or something on those lines. I know that's a really difficult question. But who would want to have some sort of referendum where you get a vote at some point in the process, regardless of what the outcome is? Okay, fine. Right, let me run through what I think those were. And my husband has always said I shouldn't be allowed near the Treasury, so forgive me if I'm not it right. So how many of you want to protect and fight for Rutland's identity and ceremonial status? It was unanimous, as it was last week. How many of you would like to keep the status quo? I would say about a third of you put your hands up. And that's obviously what was reported in the Rutland Times. But then when I asked how many of you, because you think it's a done deal, it essentially takes you to 100% of people. And that was the same last week. So a third said fight for status quo, when the other two thirds said, well, we didn't vote for it because we thought, what's the point? We haven't got a chance. How many of you want two unitaries? Unanimous. How many of you want one big Leicestershire? None. Last week, I think, I'm trying to remember if it was about 10 people last week wanted a big donut, or was it more? We'll say between 7 to 10, something like that. When I asked, regardless of how you voted, would you like us to put an alternative proposal? It was unanimous, apart from I'd say possibly two, but we're going to go with unanimous. And then how many people want mayoralty? Three of you just put your hands up. I didn't ask that last week. And then on a referendum, I'd say 9 out of 10 of you wanted it, whereas last week I'd say we had a more mixed view. So with that, I'm going to wrap us up because I've run over 10 minutes. I'm really sorry for that. But can I just say a big thank you to you all? As I said, we still don't know everything. The process could change tomorrow. The government could make an announcement tomorrow that they're not going to go ahead with this. We don't know where we're going to end up. I will do my best to keep informing you all by my Facebook or by newsletters. Please write to me if you have concerns. I have had hundreds of emails from Rutland's about this, asking questions, and I will keep coming back. I'm sorry, I'm slightly delayed at the moment. I'm not coming back within a week as I'd like because of a mix of budget, where I got thousands of emails, a sister dying, thousands of emails, and as many of you know, I was hospitalised in December, and so I'm still running quite far behind, although bed rest, as you can see, I'm doing really well, bed rest. But bed rest does mean I have more time to reply to you all, so I'm getting there. We have the public meeting. Is it on the 11th? Right, so the council will be having a public meeting on the 11th. It's mainly for councillors to have their say, but please tell them you want to go. Tell them you want to have a say on it. Write to your councillors. To William's point, please write to all your councillors and tell them, this is what I want you to fight for at the council. This is what I want you to say. Sam, please, your deputy chair.
Hi, yeah, I'm Sam Harvey. I'm vice chair of the council. I came because I actually wanted to see what people were saying. I'm surprised. I haven't had one email in my email box yet about this very subject. I feel really passionate because I'm born, bred Rutlander for many generations, and so obviously I do have a personal view. But next week I have 5 minutes in the council to say what residents want. I don't want to say what I want. I really want to say what residents want. It's the only time your views will be able to be discussed on this currently. I feel really passionate about something, so I would really welcome emails into my inbox. I'm sure that my 26 colleagues, and I'm really pleased to say some of them are here, would equally love to have some emails about your views, because we really do have, as I said, we have 5 minutes each, and we really want to put your view across because it's really important. So thank you. And thank you for coming tonight and giving me some idea of what I need to say next week.
Thank you, Sam. So Sam has put it perfectly. It's really important you write to your councillor. Writing to me is one thing, and obviously I will continue to try and stick my oar in, even though I've got no position technically within this whole process. But please, please, please write to your local councillor. But also you can write to the leader. You know, all of you can write to the leader and say, this is what I want, this is what I think the process should be, please make sure we have a referendum or whatever it is your personal view may be. So I'll wrap us up there, but yes, I will try to keep you all updated. Thank you so much for giving your time. I'm so sorry that we had to move it for those of you who wanted to come last week, and I'm sure we'll be holding more meetings along these lines, although I'd like to see RCC take up the leadership of that because they're the ones in the driving seats. But thank you all ever so much. It's really appreciated.